قد يستبي الذين يعلمون والذين لا يعلمون. People of knowledge are not the same like people of knowledge are not equal to those who don't have knowledge. But then Allah Ta'ala gives the description of the people of knowledge. أَمَّنْ هُوَ قَانِتٌ عَنَاءَ اللَّيْلِ سَاجِدًا وَقَائِمًا يَحْذَرُ الْآخِرَةِ وَيَرْجُو رَحْمَةَ رَبِّهِ. In glory and fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they spend long nights, sometimes in sajda, sometimes in standing posture, but that's how the nights are spent. Then Allah Pak says, Al yastabi alladhina ya'lamuna wal, people of knowledge and people who don't possess knowledge, can they be equal? So it's an indication that when you have the knowledge, then this is what is the behavior. أَمَّنْ هُوَ قَانِتٌ عَنَاءَ اللَّيْلِ سَاجِدًا وَقَائِمًا يَحْذَرُ الْآخِرَةَ وَيَرْجُو رَحْمَةَ رَبِّهِ. In the past, it was the way of the ulama, pious ulama. They would dedicate a good portion of their time just to get this right. You all have a concern, right, of security and a good environment. All have that same concern. One is for ourselves and one is for the good of our children and children to come thereafter. So we're concerned about the broader environment for ourselves and more for our children and then for the children to come thereafter. So to some extent we work on the outer circle, because in time to come our children will move. If they in Smingo, they're not going to remain here. They're going to go out. When they're going to be going out, they'll socialize, they'll get into nikah, they'll get into business, they'll get into some type of a friendship. So if the outer circle is made up, some good in that, then the children's tendencies will be right, inclinations will be right, they'll have a healthy environment to be in. So first we work on that. We won't say first, but we work on that. Then at a second level, you will work on the immediate environment, the home. Right? The home, and call it the environment that we're living in. Call it the home, call it the community. We're also concerned about them. Because in the infant ages, the younger ages, they're meeting up people that are around them. So that needs to be right for the children to be right and for you to be right. But if there is no direction in that, then what's going to happen to your children? What's going to happen to yourself? If around you, the children that are around you, all are on their phones, right? And then your child, you can't keep him bottled in the house. Within days, what's going to happen to the child? You don't get caught up, you don't get consumed. Initially, you may think in your naivety that what a wonderful thing, the child is so bright, you can see programs, etc., you can work out. Initially, you may think like that. But then, after some time, you realize the danger that he is throwing himself into. Chinese have realized the disaster of the social media, right? So they're in the business, but they're also concerned about their own people. So they got another application, that application they call it TikTok, right? In that TikTok, one is they have got for the world, and one is what they have got for China. What they have got for the world is uncensored. See what you want. Porn, all type of things, look at it. Horror, murder, everything. But what they have got for their own is censored, censored very well. That our own people mustn't go off. Education, their understanding, their habits, their ways, they must progress. So they got different levels for their own and different levels for the outside world. Those that own these computer companies, or they engineered them, they invented them, they're also quite concerned. So their own children, they don't give them these applications. Outside world, they can get spoiled. But my own children mustn't be spoiled. So they know the disaster that this thing has got. So one is a concern for the outside. Then the second concern is for the ones that are immediate around you, and what you're supposed to be doing. And these are things that are unavoidable, you can't avoid. You may not avoid, or your children may not avoid, right? Then the third level is your own self. As for the outer circle or the immediate circle, you may have some level of influence, but definitely you don't have the full authority and full control. But over your own self, you have the full authority and the full control. So when Allah Pak has blessed you with the highest level of authority and highest level of control of yourself, that means primarily your greater concern is yourself, then the immediate circle, and then the outer circle. All they have to be attended to, they cannot be neglected, but the greatest concern starts from yourself. That is why وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ مَاذَا يُنْفِقُونَ قُلِ الْعَفْوَ. What must be spent? And say, what is surplus? What means surplus? After you have seen to yourself, your requirements, your mental sanity and calmness, then you spend on others. But you're not right, then how can you spend on others? When you on the plane, they make the same announcement. First take care of yourself, then the children, and those who cannot help themselves, then you look after them. But first, you take care of yourself. So they also learn that tartib. Tartib starts from yourself. You take care of yourself, then those children that cannot help themselves, or old, they cannot for some reason help themselves, then you assist them. So in getting yourself right, the first the main target in yourself is the heart. You got that right, and you got the nucleus right. When the nucleus is right, then the entire body is right. But if the nucleus is not right, then the entire body is not right. So the example for that is, imagine the radar system on an aircraft, or the computer system on the aircraft. If that thing collapses, say 1 o'clock at night, and that thing is flying, the radar system collapsed, and the computer system is completely collapsed, what will happen? It's a total disaster, isn't it? So the heart and the radar system, the computer system, is identical. If this is gone, everything is gone. If this is right, then the rest of the plane, maybe the seats are torn, maybe the television that they got before you, that is not working so well. Maybe the literature they got, in-flight magazine they got, all broken down and torn. Maybe the toilet's all messed up, right? But you will still reach, inshallah. Radar system is right, engine is right, and the computer system is right. So So you will complain, hey, the toilet was all messed up. Long flight, 6 hour flight, toilet messed up. So dirty, so filthy, seats all torn. And some people were smoking on the plane. So you will complain about it. But by and large, you will still reach. But if all that is five star, you know, best aircon, best television, best everything, so the radar system is gone, the computer is collapsed, it asks you for good. So the computer system and the radar system, that has to be worked on primarily, that get it right. You got that right, then the whole world is our saluhat, saluhat jasadu kullu. If that thing comes right, then the whole body goes right. If that thing goes into a collapsed mood, then the whole body collapses. Abu Sulaiman Darani rahmatullah alayhi would say, alright, we don't do too much of nafal, not that we don't do it at all, not too much, but there is a monitor over your heart at any given time. That's why they all these mashayikh, they are almost unanimous. The worst wrong is to become ghafil of Allah Ta'ala. One moment, but you became unmindful of Allah Ta'ala, that's the worst wrong. Because that moment that you were unmindful of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, it means your mind was diverted. One person is traveling to meet his sheikh, and he thought, let me take a rest, let me take a nap, I see a beautiful tree, good shade, let me rest a little bit and then I'll continue. So as he lies down, then he can hear the birds talking. Allah made it possible for him to understand mantiqat tayr, the language of the birds. So the birds are talking, saying, hey, this person is going to meet his sheikh, but the sheikh is dead. What an ajeeb thing, what a strange thing, he's going to meet a dead sheikh. So anyway, he's thinking to himself, hey, what times we're living in that the birds are speaking lies now. Anyway, he went up to the sheikh, he saw the sheikh is alive. Other tests confirmed his suspicion that the birds are really speaking lies now. So this is from the facial expression you can make out that this person is perturbed. So the sheikh made out that this person is uneasy. That's your problem. I can't mention. What is it? So now, en route, I stopped over, rested under a tree, and this was the talks of the bird. So the sheikh asked around what time this thing took place. They showed him the approximate time. So now the birds are saying the right thing. And at that moment, I was unmindful of Allah Ta'ala. I was distracted from Allah Ta'ala. See? Distraction means when you are in something, you engage in something that is not pleasing to Allah Ta'ala. Whether it's a statement, whether it's an activity, whether it's something that you're not clear about, but you're involved in it, right? Whether it's ribat, or you're watching something, or you made a statement, that amount to being negligent of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And we take these things very, very lightly, right? And these things are serious by Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. See in this Nikah khutbah, in the first verse we read, Ya ayyuhan nas ittaqoo rabbakum alladhi khalaqakum min nafsin wahida. And then the ayat again ends up, Wattaqullaha alladhi tasa'aluna bihi wal arham. So it starts off with taqwa, it ends up with taqwa. Right? And taqwa is not just an outward expression. It's also about your own mind and your own self. Taqwa, we feel that, no, I didn't look at that girl or I didn't listen to music, so I got taqwa. So that is a level of taqwa, but that doesn't encapsulate the definition of taqwa entirely. Entirety, something else. Now you see, you're saying something. So, one is, you have to see the tone that you're speaking in. Speaking to someone. Now, that tone that you're speaking in, Is it tribu to taqwa or not? The word is right. Sorry. The tone, is it right? Is it hurtful or not? And especially if it's your elder, your father is speaking to you, and you just spoke in a rough tone, said, is it hurtful? Is it hurtful to someone that is close to you? Forget your father, someone that is close to you, and you spoke in a rough tone. Now, was it iza and causing some pain and hurt to a Muslim? And hurting a Muslim, I say, is that the right thing? Hurting a Muslim? So you can say, no, I didn't say anything wrong, but I ask you, was the tone right? Then in taqwa again, one is the tone being right. Number two is the choice of words right? Choice of the words that you're using, was that right? So, you can tell the person, right, you can do your own thing. So that doing your own thing really is got a different connotation as well. You're alluding to something else. Told the person, do your own thing. But I ask you, is it hurtful to that person? So, the choice of the words. One is the tone. One is the choice of the words. One is not expressing yourself completely. Right? Not expressing yourself completely has got two meanings. That will bring about some type of hurt to the person. But you don't speak completely. You just blurt out something and you expect that person to understand fully, grasp the message. So you've caused him taklif. Now he doesn't know what you're talking about. So say something, but say it clearly. That he speaks about it, that you are asking for permission, right? So you're asking for permission to enter someone's home. They ask, who is it? And say completely your full name. The name, they will understand, they will know you. So you use your full name. You don't just say, I am here. Who's I? Right? Say your full name. The name that they will recognize you, the name that you're known by. Speak and speak fully. Not in words that may not be understood well or may not be, can be misconstrued. Don't speak in that type of words. Speak fully. Right? Complete. How many of us take out the time to teach this basic lessons in our homes? Do we teach these basic levels? See, I said tone is right. Choice of words is right. Speak and speak complete. Other Shaykh Ramadhani, people will come to the Khanqa, right? So he'll ask, alright, what period of time have you come for? Jaysa Afarmai, whatever you say. So, now these Mashaykh, they are conscious of their time, number one. Number two, every moment of yours is valuable. So they want to add value to your time. So, now they have to read quickly. See, my younger brother is Mullah Yusuf, the Jamaat of the Amir of the Tabligh Jamaat. So my younger brother, he asked for 4 months. And I'm being the elder, I can ask double the time. So no, I can't manage that. Then why did you say whatever time you say? You said no, whatever time you say. And from the beginning say I come for 3 days, 1 month, half a month, say that from the beginning. But at the beginning when I ask you what time limit, you say no, whatever time you say. And then well, I have to say 8 months is, you know, I can't manage. Then why did you say that? You should have said from the beginning that this is what I mean. Now, you may ask why Hazrat put him into that exercise. So from the beginning is correcting him that look at the choice of your words. The choice of your words must be such that the person gets the message straight away. You're not taking him in a circle, take him in a merry-go-round, straight away he gets your message. Choice of the words. See that just words and how much related, how much of taqwa is related to just the choice of the words. Then the fourth thing about words is your facial expression. Right? It was your father, or it was your elder, or it was someone dear to you, and you just pulled up your face. Right? Pulled up your face. How will that person take it? And now this is treated as normal. Just pulled up your face. Wife said something, someone said something, put up your face and you moved on. And you don't think much about it. And do you consider the fact that you are inconveniencing someone? Do you consider that? You see the tone, the choice of the words, the facial expression, the clarity of your statements, how clear you are. Right? Or otherwise, you're being using sarcasm. How you use sarcasm is you give a one word answer. By your mother is speaking to you, but you went for the word, what you ate? Food. But isn't it sarcasm? The one that knows, he knows what you are doing. But now, do we run these things? Do we discuss these things within the house, within the children? That when they have to go out of the house one day, they know what it is to be a man. They understand what it is. So many things are related just to the speech. So we are teaching them taqwa. So that is why in the marital life, and that first verse that is used in the khutbah, ittaqu rabbukum, and again ending up with ittaqu Allah alladhi tasa'aluna bihi wal arham. When you are making demands for your rights, then you take the name of Allah Ta'ala. In different ways, you know, you are owing me so much. You answer, well, you're not paying. Don't you fear Allah Ta'ala? You know, you have to stand on the day of Qiyamah before Him. And you know, I won't make you master. So you remind the person of Allah Ta'ala. Don't you do that when it's something related to your personal rights, then use the name of Allah Ta'ala. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ. When it's your personal rights, then you are quick to use the name of Allah Ta'ala, demanding your rights. But if you are owing someone, then do you think about it, that person also can make a similar claim against me. And then when we are talking of rights, then we are making it exclusive to our rights, our monetary rights. And every other right, we feel all that we don't have a duty in fulfilling any other right. But this right we have to, monetary right. My rights, they must see to. But you see how our thinking is warped. So therefore Allah says, اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة. And then he ends up the whole verse, اتقوا الله الذي تساءلون. So I have seen about two or three places in the Quran Sharif where the verse is commencing with taqwa and is ending with taqwa. Here, and اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله. Starts off with taqwa and ends off with taqwa. So, the strive and the struggle of the Ahlullah is getting this right, getting the radar right. Because the radar is the direction. When the direction is right, then you are moving right. Maybe the body work, the structure is not too good, but the radar is right. The compass is right. The computer is right. That's the heart. So it's giving you the right direction. If there's a lot of frills and fancy outside, a lot of gloss everything, but this is not right. I say, you're wasting time. Really, you're wasting time. You're looking at the frills, looking at the fancies, looking at the makeup, but not correcting this. So Abu Sulaiman Dharani will say, work on this first. Get this right. You got this right, then you're moving very well. Al-Mawla Raipuri Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, had received a guest. So, one was his murid, and one was a new person that came in. So, the new person that came in, he says, Zahir bhi tabah hai, aur batin bhi tabah hai. Zahir because his apparel, clothing, etc., beard also, all was not right. Aur batin bhi tabah hai, that means his heart was corrupt, wrong ideas, wrong beliefs, wrong thoughts he had. So, both are pretty in a pitiable condition. And the other one that had some association, he says, Zahiri to kush kami hai, uski isla to bahut aasan hai, lekin alhamdulillah, khuda ke fazl se batin sahi hai. Yeah, there's some weakness on the outside, maybe he's not getting his namaz with jamaat or something, right? So that is a problem that we can fix up and we can attend to. But alhamdulillah, the heart is right. Now, which X-ray machine can do that? Just see you one shot, one stroke, and tell you your zahir, and tell you your batin, tell you your inner self, and tell you your outer self in one stroke, one instant, to tell you the whole report. Any scanning machine, MRI scan, nobody can do it. One sitting, they give it to you. So, by this mashayikh and ulama-i kiram, this is the most important focus. The attention is on this. Get this right. Get the niyat right. How much you can achieve. And now, we may think this is a very casual or very insignificant thing. So, our thoughts go in wrong direction sometimes. We have an unpleasant relationship with someone, right? So, in our hearts, we are desirous of disaster coming to him. See, he's doing a business now, and the business must collapse. Or he must be injured very seriously, incapacitated, right? And then his children and his wife all must be crying near him, right? And while he's in a pitiable state, people must laugh at him. Right? So we are desirous for that. I ask you, is your heart in the right place? You're doing namaz, etc., everything. But what are you desiring for? Are you desiring for the right thing, or are you desirous of the wrong thing? You are wishing and longing for the right things for the person, or you are wishing and longing for the wrong things for the person. See how it works. If this person is excelling, Imam Ghazali Sahib explains, right? Then we feel hurt for his excellence. He's moving on, he's progressing, he's coming in the limelight, so we feel hurt. Right? And when he's being smashed down, we rejoice. See how our minds are working. See, that radar is not right. When we see him progressing, so we are hurtful, we are painful, we can't see that. But the moment he goes to the doldrums, then we're rejoicing, we'll talk about it, we'll celebrate over it. See, he didn't listen to us, now see what's happening to him now. We warned him. But you see that radar isn't right. And now, this Ramadan is coming, and this is what we're supposed to be working towards. Look at this. The examples for this are galore, too much examples for this. The bottom line is, get that heart right. So, in the past, this was the concern. You would first go to the mashayikh, work on that. Got one, Maulana Zahiruddin. So now, we're talking about some 8 centuries ago. So a student that is in a madrasa, any student, doesn't have to be only in a madrasa, but when you are studying, then your mind is very active. Your mind is very active. This can be the possibility, that can be another possibility. Right? So your mind goes in different directions. Right? So now that becomes a test for and a trial for an educated person, because your mind runs in different directions. Mind is active. When your mind is active, it's going in all different directions. So you come across a saintly person, but your mind is not totally at ease, because your mind is running in different directions. And you go through that training, you know, there's the hadith, and the hadith will tell you, isme panch ihtimalat hai. Right? There are 5 possibilities in this one single hadith. One hadith, but there are 5 explanations to it. So you see how active your mind is. Right? The hadith is one, right? But the possibilities, right, that can come out of that one hadith. Like, for example, one hadith says that you don't face towards the Qibla when urinating or passing out, number 2, right? Don't face the Qibla, or don't allow your back towards the Qibla, right? Now there's another hadith, Abdullah ibn Umar says, I climbed up onto the house of my sister Hafsa radiallahu anha. I saw Rasulullah relieving himself and facing towards the Qibla. Now understand how it happens. So you relieve yourself in those days. I've seen this, right? So it's like a semi-door, right? It's a semi-door. So you can see the head of the person, you can't see the rest of the body. Like our toys will have a full door, and this is a half door. So in that half door, your Satar is all concealed, right? The upper part of your body from your neck onwards you can see it, right? So he says, I climbed up the house, my sister's house, and I saw Rasulullah relieve himself, but he was facing towards the Qibla. Right? Now there are so many possibilities in the hadith. One possibility is that this came about before the prohibition. See, one is the prohibition that you don't face towards the Qibla, and you don't allow your back towards be towards the Qibla. That's one possibility. But see now how your mind will work. The second possibility is that it's possible also that the prohibition was for people and Rasulullah SAW was privileged. Because the obvious reason is Rasulullah SAW is the greatest, greater than the Kaaba Sharif as well. So we will show the respect. He does show the respect, but he's privileged. So when he's privileged, he can use the privilege. Second possibility, right? The third possibility is that this is Nazr-e Fujat. You know, when you're seeing a person relieving himself, then you may not capture the picture altogether completely, because he's in a very secretive posture, right? And you won't stare at him at that time. So perhaps he's viewing me, he may have erred in his viewing. Right? He may have erred in his viewing. So there are about five other reasons that they give, I'm just sharing with you. Now when a person is being trained in a madrasa like this, so his mind is trained to go in different angles. When he's going in different angles, then his mind doesn't just settle on a concept immediately. It can run one side, second side, third side. There can be a lot of directions that the mind can run. So we're talking of Mawlana Zahiruddin, right? And now, a great saintly personality in his zamana is Shah Ruknuddin Rahmatullah, very great saintly person. So his mind is saying that no, he is a great personality, but now, as I say, the mind is trained to run in different directions. When he's running in different directions, but what's the proof that he is definitely a righteous person? What is the proof? So one thought passed his mind, that see, the crowd that he attracts, right? So much crowds he attracts, so he must be a great personality. Otherwise, you won't see that so many people flock towards him. So he expelled that thought, said, well, you find Ahlul Batil also attracting a lot of crowds. A lot of people that are deep in falsehood, and you get this evangelist, and you get this televangelist, right? One person is attracting about 20 million people throughout the world, televangelists, right? How they speak, and how they present themselves, and their charisma, and how they project themselves, they attract so many people. So, now, how can you use that just to endorse the person's righteousness? To expel the thought. Now then, at the second level, he sees a dream, right? In the dream, what he sees, that the same Shah Ruknuddin Sahib Rahmatullah is giving some halwa, some mitai, and he's enjoying it. And he felt so relaxed, relieved, all the doubts are cleared up. And now, that's strengthening him up that definitely this person is a godly person. So for a day or two this prevailed, but thereafter those thoughts, those stray thoughts had the bit over him. So it is just a imagination, you know, I'm going through an imagination, mind is going in different directions. So I was thinking like this, therefore I saw something what I was thinking of. Expel that thought again. At length, once the same person, this Mawlana Zahiruddin, he came up to Hazrat Shah Ruknuddin Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi. Now, one-on-one, it's on one-on-one with Shah Ruknuddin Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi. So Shah Ruknuddin Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi says to him, it is good that you have come, you know. There were some things at an academic level, and I wanted to discuss it. And the most appropriate person to discuss it would be an alim, so you are here, and it's nice for me to discuss it. Now, Mawlana Zahiruddin had come in already pre-planning some questions in his mind. And at that meeting, it's an it's some academic level discussions, and I would like to discuss it with some person of knowledge. And exactly those thoughts that he had in his mind, now he's expressing it as though he's discussing. He says, you see, what the tarteeb is, what is the sequence? The sequence is that you first do the farz, and then you do the extras, like how you're spending money. Like when you're spending, you first spend upon those people that you have to spend upon, right? Wife, children, parents, etc. Thereafter others, right? So that means the obligations first, and then secondary matters. But now when you look at wuzu, right, then you're starting off with all the sunan and mustahabbat, then progressing to the farz, right? Because you are washing your hands, gargling your mouth, pouring water into the nostrils, all sunan, and then you're washing the face, that becomes the farz. So what is the possible reason for that? So Shah Ruknuddin is explaining the reason. He says, see, for the wuzu to be right, the water needs to be right. It needs to be ala sifatil munazzali minas sama, anzalna minas samai ma'an tahura. The water must be clean, and will be so clean that it can be used as a purifying agent, right? Not only clean, but it can also be used as a purifying agent, right? So oil is also clean, but it can be used as a purifying agent. Clean and can purify also. That is the meaning of anzalna minas samait ma'an tahura. So the water that comes from the heavens has got basically three characteristics, right? One is, it's got no color. So you start off washing your hands. So when you're going to pour the hands into your palms, the color will be noticed straight away, right? Straight away you see the color of the water. Alright? So one of the characteristics, you ticked it off already, right? Then the second characteristic is, it must be tasteless. So you pour the water into your mouth and you gargle. You got the taste already, that this is not Coca-Cola or Sprite, right? You got the taste also, you got it second tick on the box. Now the last one, it mustn't have a smell as well. So you pour the water into your nose and you verify it doesn't have a smell. So now that is like the water that comes from the heaven, no smell, no color, no taste, right? Once you have verified that, now you may start off with the farais. But you didn't verify this, then how can you embark on the farz? You can only embark on the farz when you have verified these three preliminary levels. Right? Now you wash your face, hands, massage, feet, etc. As you wash that, then the hadith says that as you wash your limbs, then all your sins are being washed down. So therefore, whilst you are doing your wuzu, you have that in your frame of mind. So you are going to Ramadan, so a preparation, right? You have that in your frame of mind, that I am washing down all my wrongs, eyes, ears, tongue. I may have done something intentionally, unintentionally, but about as I am washing my face, and all the wrongs I have done, that I wash it down together with that water that is dripping, right? So whether it's with the eye, whether it's with the ears, whether it's with the tongue, and whether it's with the nose. Whether the sin is on the nose or the toes, get it washed. I ask you, if there's some woman walking past and they are trailing some scent and you find some pleasure, is it right or wrong? It's wrong for her, it's wrong for you as well, both. So, but sins are happening, and you need to wash it out all the time. Otherwise, what happens? Hadith says, when you commit a sin, then there is a black spot. If you wash it out in time, mashallah. But you don't wash it out on time, then that blackness just grows. One black spot, another sin, another small sin, another small sin. And then there's a layer of darkness over the heart. When there's layers of darkness in the heart, because you didn't clean it, you didn't rectify it straight away, what happens now? Now, the capacity for goodness to permeate the heart, that has collapsed. Because there's so much of barriers. There's so much of barriers now, that goodness can't permeate your heart. Why? You've created up barriers of blackness. So there's blackness there now, nothing can penetrate your heart. So when nothing can penetrate your heart now, so good words are mentioned to you, but you cannot register, you don't want to take it on. Right? Wrong is being explained to you, but your heart doesn't want to register. Right? There's layers upon layers of darkness that's covered the heart. So now, when you're making a wuzu, so you're making with that intention, all the wrong, you may have heard, right? And nowadays, there's hardly a majlis, hardly a sitting, where there may be absolutely no ghibat or no gossip, right? But you need to cleanse it all the time. Don't we need to cleanse it? So therefore, at the time of wuzu, we have that frame of mind, and all the wrongs that have been done, we're washing it out, right? The worst thing, when you say, is to be unmindful of Allah Ta'ala, is we don't recognize the wrong as wrong. The tone was wrong, the choice of word was wrong, the facial expression was wrong, we said something that was not right, but we don't recognize, we don't understand the wrong to be wrong. We just blurt out a statement, and we don't even recognize the wrong to be wrong. That compounds the wrong, where we didn't even recognize, we didn't even take the wrong to be wrong. Now, one is those people that come under your authority, your children, right? You have got the right to be using some disciplinary measures for them, right? But then everybody doesn't come under your tarbiyat, right? So you don't have the right to tell that person, unless he comes under your influence, it's a different thing, but he doesn't come under your influence, have you the right to say that? You got the authority, it's a different thing. No authority, then, yes, if it's a haram, then you can shout him, perhaps. You know, even if he's a stranger, you can tell him. And even if he hits you, it's alright. You won't get guna if he hits you. You shouted him, gave him a tongue lashing, and he smacked you for that. So you won't be sinful for that. Right? But that was when it's a thing to do with the sunnah or haram, etc. But under normal circumstances, you don't have a right to use vulgarity, incorrect speech, right? Unethical words, you're not allowed to use it. So the choice of those, how will you come across? You know, a simple illustration is you laid out the food. Now you're calling your friends to come and eat. Right? Says now, jihad is on, come and attack. Let's on free it. Is that a right way to say it? Choice of the words, right? But you say, you know, it's an honor to have you, and I feel so honored. You people graced this occasion, came to my house. But I see the choice of the words. And now we are not conscious of the choice of the word, we just use it, and we don't think much about it. We feel that it's not. اِسْتَلَقَّوْنَهُ بِأَلْسِنَتِكُمْ وَتَقُولُونَ بِأَفْوَاهِكُمْ مَا لَيْسَ لَكُمْ بِهِ عِلْمٍ وَتَحْسَبُونَهُ هَيِّنًا وَهُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَظِيمٌ. Is this being transmitted from one person to the other person, and so forth and so on? I ask you, all the fitnas, how they start off? One person to the second, third, it flows on, right? تَقُولُونَ بِأَفْوَاهِكُمْ مَا لَيْسَ لَكُمْ بِهِ عِلْمٍ. And you are speaking of things that you haven't fully captured, right? You haven't fully captured. Part of the story you got, and you feel that I'm in a position of transmitting this message, but you haven't acquired it fully. Not part of it, and you don't know. Right? Like a lot of things happen, right? And in the interest of some people's reputation, I don't speak about it. Or I may just give one statement just to cover the person. Nobody knows what happens. And then the rumor will go around, oh, this person did this and this. You don't know. And I can't express, I can't say the whole thing completely, because I say it completely, I know it affects that person's reputation. His respect is going to go. So rather I just keep it to myself, not mention it. So sometimes concealing that information is for blocking and protecting that person's reputation. But then this also is misconstrued. Why this happened here? Why this happened? You know, the judgment was something different here and something different here. But have you verified all the information? Is it all before you? Now you don't know about it. تَحْسَبُونَهُ, you know, you just saw one part of it, you transmitted it, that went to the third person, the fourth person, right? And it turns out to be a total pure allegation, false allegation. You didn't. And now for me it's incorrect, right? That I go and divulge that person. I go and express it. It's his secret, right? He did something wrong. It was between him and Allah. I may have disciplined the person, corrected him. It was finished, end of the story. But does it concern you? It doesn't concern you. Why must you put your poke your nose into it? It doesn't concern you. وَهُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَزِيمٍ, in the sight of Allah, that is a serious matter. See that? How it works. So we're talking of this Shah Ruknuddin Sahib Rahmatullahi. I say, now we're doing a wuzu, talking of wuzu. Now we have that conscious of mind as we're doing the wuzu, everything is getting washed away. But provided you're doing the wuzu rightly, not wasting water. Afil wudu is sarafun, is there wastage in wuzu? Yes. So you see to that. The woman at the home also must be shown that they don't waste water. Right? Not that we are hoarding, no, no. But we are asked, even if you are at the bank of a river, then too you don't waste water. So now sometimes you need to wash a cup, right? So you see now, just equivalent water, little water is used to wash the cup correctly. But now there will be a small stain of the water, and then I see it myself, the opening the tap full blast. Now every time is not an occasion to correct, right? Sometimes I will bring it to the attention and see. It's a small stain. One saucer was enough, or less than a saucer, to clean the thing. Now why is so much of water has been wasted? Don't you know that you are going to be answerable? Afil wudu is sarafun. And the Surah is cautioning. But now do we take this thing? Do we take cognizance of these things or not? See that? The amount of wastage that goes on. Water is just one thing, and there are other places where we will waste, and we don't even consider it as a wrong. تَحْسَبُونَهُ هَيِّنَا, we consider it to be too insignificant. And وَهُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَظِيمٌ. So, the right thing is now, whilst we're making wuzu, we recognize our wrongs, and everything is getting washed away. Right? Washing our hands, and the wrongs that we have taken place with the hands, that's getting washed away. Washing or making masah of the head, then the wrong thoughts, etc., wrong intentions that we have made for the day, or we've been harboring some malice for people, or thoughts of pride, right? All those things that have been happening in our minds, right? Thinking, we need to smash this person down, or that person needs to be put in his place, right? And let's hope something happens that he's smashed down and is humiliated. So then when he's humiliated, then I will rejoice. Now all these type of evil shaitanic thoughts are passing the mind, and when we're making wuzu, we're recognizing the thoughts and washing it out. Washed our feet, and our feet were going to some wrong places, wrong movements we made. Some many years ago, about 35 years, right? So I was in the lounge having some guests, you know. One man had his child, and that Ola ice cream was passing by, you know. So as that ice cream van is passing by, and I can see the man tapping his feet. So there's a small child in the house. Uncle, this is not right, huh? This is not right. But I like that. The child, innocent as he is, he understood that this person is tapping his feet, following the rhythm. He's following the beat. Now, we don't think of it as a sin. He's tapping his feet. What is tapping the feet for? Right? So we don't even consider the sin as wrong. So now, when we make use of Allah, the wrongs that I know, wrongs that I don't know, Allah, forgive me for that. Doing it intentionally, unintentionally. Now, with the completion of the wuzu, what has happened? The outer body has been purified. Now, we're talking about the purification of the heart. Now, what will then purify the heart? So you need some type of liquid to purify the outer body, the outer sins, ears, eyes, tongue, etc. But what about the purification of the soul and the heart? What is required to purify this so that the vision becomes absolutely clear? So there are about four things that are required to keep the heart absolutely clean so that the vision is right. When the vision is right, then you can see things in perspective. You know, this is a diamond and this is a stone. and the vision is not right, right, then you're picking up a stone thinking it to be a diamond, right? Or throwing the diamond thinking it to be a stone. That is because the vision wasn't right. So important it is to get the heart right, so that you can see things in perspective, right? So now, what is required then to purify the heart? So about four things that are required. One is association. Association means whatever person you come into contact with, or whatever literature you come into contact with, one association can just trip you completely. Almost Sahanpuri Sahib Rahmatullah's time, there was a jalsa in Sahanpur. The jalsa ended and people board the train and they're leaving. Right? And there's a Hindu that's meditating. Now one of Sahanpuri's murids is on the train and he sees now, hey, my mind is going all over the place, you know. I'm thinking bad of the mashayikh, think they are false, they all make up. All type of stupid thoughts are going past my mind. Before I had so much of respect for the person, and all these poisonous thoughts are running past the mind. What happened to me? I had so much of respect for the person, and now there's a whole total somersault. I don't have the respect that I had once upon a time. What's happened to me? Now, as those thoughts are passing by, and for a moment his eyes is closed, and he sees Mawlana Sahanpuri Sahib Rahmatullah. Mawlana says to him in that vision, to say La Hawla. And he, as he said La Hawla, that guru, he got up and he ran away. He said, hey, but the peer you got, he's a terrible person. Man. Just one glance, and I can't tolerate it, I can't manage it. But you see what happened. See that inappropriate association. We read, we hear, or we join up such people, that the righteous people, the respect that we had, the honor that we had, that collapses. Now we have wrong thoughts, suspicions. And we base it upon our knowledge, our understanding, we're seeing the person in perspective. That is why we have a different opinion of him altogether. Before we were in the dark, now we're seeing the light now. See? But we didn't realize that this is a result of the wrong association, wrong type of people, wrong type of literature that you were reading, wrong type of places that you were going to, right? Right? Literature, places, people. See, going into this and that, then just confuse the whole mind. The whole mind got confused. Now the right seems to be wrong, and the wrong seems to be right. Right. So now that's the one thing that's required to purify. I said, you know, you can't differentiate between a diamond from a stone. Why? Because the eyes, the vision has gone so blunt, blind, right? So the heart, the vision of the heart has gone off. So now, the thing that is most expedient to bring about the purification of the heart, right? For the body, you understood there was a liquid that was required to be in a certain state to bring about the outer external purification. Now the purification of the heart, what's required here to bring about the purification? So this requires two things. Right? To bring about the actual purification of the heart. One is kasratu zikr. Like I said, the worst thing is to be unmindful of Allah Ta'ala. Now become mindful of Allah Ta'ala. Whichever way, be mindful of Allah Ta'ala. وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ Allah Ta'ala is watching. Allah Ta'ala is with me. He is present. He is present. He is watching me. He knows what I'm doing. Right? So one is bring about the consciousness and the awareness of Allah Ta'ala. And number two, the second thing that is required to bring about the purification of the soul, call it the heart, or call it the ruh, whatever, different words are used in the Quran, but it comes to the same thing, right? Is the liquid of the eye cry to Allah Ta'ala. One person asked me in the course of the week now, you know, but now what will induce crying? I can't cry. They, right, understand. Don't say I can't cry, you can cry. Just adjust your thinking and you see the tears will come. Think now, you know, you're boxed up in the grave all alone. There's nobody on your side, left, right, up, beneath. And you are just desperate for the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala, you take care of me. I got no way to turn to Allah Ta'ala. You take care of me. In that state of total desperation. And tell me then, when you are talking in the total state of desperation, any tears will roll down or not. The tears will roll down. But just adjust the mind to think now, you're in a total state of desperation, I desperately need some assistance. Then you say, I don't know. So, this liquid here then, that is effective in washing the heart. Because that liquid is so precious, it can put the whole Jahannam off. So can't it put off the dirt in your heart? If it can put off the entire fire of Jahannam, whole the tear that's coming out, provided it's not onion tears, right? It's the genuine tears, right? The genuine tears can put off the whole Jahannam off, so can't it put off the fire of evil that's raging within your heart? But cry. At tahajjud, or in just quiet moments, and when you are a little bit relaxed, but cry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Cry. Cry profusely. How much you can cry? How much you can cry in your secret moments, in your open moments? The Jibreel alayhi salam had visited Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'm saying the hadith in my own words, right? So there was one person on the corner that's crying away. He's crying away and sincere. So Jibreel alayhi salam exclaimed, you know, that everything is subject to the scaling. But this thing is such a precious thing, the scales can't take it. It's too much. It's crying for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And see what a difference it will make to the heart. So you see, the purification of the heart, what are the requirements? All these places of evil, that we avoid. People, places. How you understand that the person or the material is wrong is distracting you from your original cause. Think of yourself, when you just started this part of suluk, at that time, you know, you were such a humble person. And now as you progress, there's something that came in that vision, that you know, you have that level of humility now. Now you think I'm ponch gaya. We have reached somewhere. So that's something that has come.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.